For the rest of us, if you would take your Bibles this morning and again turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. Galatians and chapter 5. How are you doing on your memory? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Okay, we're at number 7. Test is coming in 3 weeks. All right. Faithfulness this morning. And thank you to the faithful person who brought the plums. This morning I came in, I was looking this week, and all I had for the donation this morning on the sheet at the back, and I think we need one more at the end, but anyway, you can go look. All I had was an initial, and the initial didn't match anybody that I knew in the church. So I go, okay, we'll see if the person is faithful, if this is really true, and yes. So thank you to whoever you are. Introduce yourself later to me so I know. But I don't know who it was who brought the plums this morning, but Katie. But the initial didn't match. All right. Maybe you didn't want us to know who it was you. But anyway, thank you for bringing the plums. All right. Faithfulness. How many of you have been to Yellowstone National Park? Maybe half of you. What is the most famous feature at Yellowstone? Old Faithful. For those of you who are unaware, Old Faithful is a what? A geyser, a geezer, I don't know what. I'm an old geezer, I guess I'm not a geyser, but it spews up water, they say, faithfully. But that's a bit of a myth, I am told, when we went there, that it's not always that faithful. It's not, you know, right on the dot every so many seconds. But it has been spewing for a long time. You can count on it, I guess you could say. How many of us would say that of ourselves? That we are, as I age, would they call me Old Faithful? Or maybe just a geezer, but anyway, you know what I mean. We have come to that place in the fruit of the Spirit, which identifies the sixth fruit. In a series that we're entitling Summer Fruit, a sixth fruit is the fruit of faithfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are just wonderful traits of people you want to be around. And so this morning, we want to take a further look at this fruit. And we want to look at this fruit this morning from three perspectives. All right, this is sort of the approach that I'm taking toward this fruit. Number one, as we talk about faithfulness, we want to look at its meaning. Its meaning. What does this mean? Well, you think, I know, that's old geyser, faithful, that's... Yeah, but more than that. And so let's take a new look and perhaps shed a new light a little bit on this word. The word in our text, faithfulness, is really the simple Greek word, and if you want to write this down, it's easy enough, pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. The word simply means faith or believe. It can mean either one of those. The verbal form of pistis is pistuo, and it means to believe or to have faith in. But that's the root word here that is used in Galatians chapter 5, pistis. A couple examples of that, and again, we'll be using our Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22. Jesus is confronted by a woman, and he heals her, and it says, as Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. Her faith, her pistis, had made her well. She believed. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So faith, pistis, belief, comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Same word. Faith. The word can also, depending on its context, mean not only faith, but faithfulness. And that's what most of our translators have chosen to translate this as in your most of your texts. Did anybody have a King James Version? Anybody got the real God's Version? But anyway, no. We got a King James. What word is used there? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Is yours say faithfulness? Okay. Or is that a new King James? Okay. Because that's interesting because the King James originally just simply uses the word faith. I have an interlinear word. So they may have changed that. That's interesting. But anyway, faith. And also can mean faithfulness. The idea is that of constancy, of commitment, of fidelity, of a stick-to-itiveness. And whether we're talking about faith or faithfulness, faithfulness simply being the demonstration of faith, the faith in action, not just belief, but the actual doing of faith, is about commitment. That's the dictionary definition. And so when we talk about faith and faithfulness, the place to begin, as we have in all of the fruit as we've come to this place, is to talk about the origin of this fruit, the one who demonstrates this fruit, and the one who by his Spirit allows us to practice this fruit in and through our lives. And that is God. So let's just talk a bit this morning, as we have already sung, about the faithfulness of God, another one of his characteristics. And we can learn how to be faithful by looking at the one who is faithful. One is characterized by faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10. 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 11, 11. By faith, here's our word again, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So Sarah demonstrates faith in the God who is faithful. Psalm 86, 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. That was last week. His steadfast love, that was the first one, endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Lamentations chapter 3. You can turn there for no other reason but to find it. Lamentations 3. 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful, completely trustworthy. You can count on him. His word is good. He is consistent. That is our God. He's faithful in many ways. 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1:9. We say God is faithful. How is he faithful? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, is there any chance that God will not forgive you? No, none. He is faithful to forgive. No matter what anyone has ever done, he is faithful to forgive if we confess. Now, that's needed. That is a prerequisite to forgiveness, is the confession. But he will hold up his end. Have you ever met someone who won't forgive? Maybe there's a situation in your own life where you have had a hard time forgiving someone. Maybe you sit here this morning and you still haven't forgiven them. That's very human. But God is never like that. God forgives a truly repentant heart every time. He's faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 and 9. And verse 8 says that we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful to bring us to himself on the day of our Lord. He's faithful to sustain us all the way to the end. And when we come before him, he will declare us guiltless because he is faithful. You won't get there. And he goes, I changed my mind. To hell with you. Never will happen. He's faithful, committed. You can count on him. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. God is with you, if you know him, always. In every circumstance, we're never left to fend for ourselves. That's why he has put the Holy Spirit within us. He is always present. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. Charles Stanley, who recently passed away, said, oftentimes God demonstrates his faithfulness even in adversity by providing for us what we need to survive. He does not champion painful circumstances. He sustains us through them. And we have, in our own home, have experienced some of that over the past week. And you yourselves will have experienced that in your life. Maybe you're facing that right now. But God is faithful to walk with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Holy Spirit himself is called the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor. He's faithful. No one is faithful like our God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Here it's talking about sanctification. He's faithful as he comes into our lives to make us conform to the image of his Son. That's what he promises to do. And whatever happens in your life is there to make you more like Jesus. That's why it says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Nothing comes our way that he is not being faithful to his word in doing in your life what he wants to do in your life. The problem is we don't always like that. Oh, what's God doing to me now? He's faithful into developing you and maturing you and helping you to grow. And when do you grow? Most often through the hard circumstances of life. But even there, he's probably most faithful. And he carries us through sometimes when we can't even walk ourselves. One author put it this way: God's will, though, is not necessarily to make us happy. His will is to make us holy. And he is faithful in his promise to do that. It doesn't always mean that you'll like what's going on, but you can count on him to develop your character and your maturity in holiness. He's faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You never have to sin. For God is faithful to give you the power to overcome it. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. He promised, it says he's faithful, that he will provide a way of escape, whatever that temptation may be in your life. He will never allow you to get in over your head. He's always faithful to give you the strength to overcome or to give you a way out every time. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Another great aspect of his faithfulness. It says, then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. His faithfulness, maybe even most significantly, even as we've talked about the different ways he has demonstrated his faithfulness is unconditional. It doesn't depend on us. He remains faithful. That gives me hope because I'm not always a very faithful servant. And I know you're probably a little better than me, but anyway, ever had that? Oh man, I did it again, I blew it again. So God says, not for you. Never. His faithfulness is not conditional upon your performance. When you're his kid, you're his kid. Now he disciplines us if we get out of line, and he has ways of handling us, but he is faithful. My kid is my kid. Why do you have to go and break your ankle? Go somewhere else. I'm done. Not that that's a moral issue, but you know what I mean. She's mine. I'm the, and you know, as they say, you never stop being a parent. God never stops being our Heavenly Father. Faithful, committed. So you do what you have to do. Faithfulness. He will keep his promises. He will be true to his character and to his nature. No matter how we might mess up, he is faithful. Reminded of the book of Hosea. Remember that prophet? What was he told to do? His wife ran off. She was a prostitute, whoring with other men. And what does God tell Hosea to do as a picture of his own faithfulness to his own adulterous people? Bring her back, woo her back, marry her again. That's the picture of God. Faithful. Aren't you glad about that? On my cell phone, I have a block. I think I've only used it once in my life. But God doesn't have a block to anybody's call. He is faithful. It's meaning. You get it, right? He's there. Secondly, some models. If you want to know what something means, take a look at how other people have practiced it, or how they're described, and who is described as faithful. Well, God's the main one, and we learn what that is just simply by observing. But some models. It's helpful to be reminded of others who have modeled faithfulness. Now, the obvious example is Christ himself. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that he became a man to identify with us. And then in verse 17 it says, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Christ was faithful. Faithful to the end. Faithful to the point of a cross. Because that was what he was called to. He never wavered. The Bible talks about him setting his face like a flint to Jerusalem. Faithful. I'm glad he didn't give up in the garden. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2, consider Jesus who was faithful to him who appointed him. Faithful. In Revelation 1, 5, he's called a faithful witness. 100% faithful to his Father, totally fulfilling his calling and his mission. That is to be, and we'll talk about this in just a few minutes, to be our responsibility. We get up in the morning and we're fit for service now, and we will fulfill the mission as faithfully as we can. Faithful. Why, you might say, that was Jesus, I'm not God. Well, let's take a look at a few others. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, which we have done, who was faithful, and that we have just said that, to him who appointed him. Now it says, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Who else was faithful to his calling? Moses. Verse 5, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. Now Moses had his slip-ups. one that cost them to go into the land of Canaan. But as a general rule, Moses was faithful. Not always easy to be faithful. Got 2 million people saying, "Are we there yet?" Grumbling and complaining and wanting to get rid of them, and oh man, faithful. The Bible says that he gave up the privileges of being the prince of Egypt, for he was born in Pharaoh's home or raised in Pharaoh's home. He gave that all up for the calling of God to lead the people out. He was faithful. Not always easy. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul writes, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." It could be translated, "I was faithful." Same word. Paul. I don't have time this morning to read about all his trials and tribulations. You can read them yourself in 2 Corinthians. "I was shipwrecked and this and that and stoned." And faithful. Faithful to the church. Praying for the church. Supporting the church. That was the call of God on his life. He was faithful. You say, "Yeah, but those are superstars. I'm not Moses. I'm not Paul." Glad you said that. 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul writes, "I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord." Timothy, the one he led to Christ, is now called faithful. Ephesians 6:21. Now we're getting more obscure, all right? Ephesians 6:21. "So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." Faithful. Tychicus. In fact, he's mentioned again in the book of Colossians. Colossians 4 and verse 7. "Tychicus will tell you all my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." Not a superhero here. This is just a traveling companion of Paul. Colossians 1:2. "To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae. Faithful brothers in Colossae. This church is faithful. And the people of the church, Paul says, are faithful. Colossians 1:7. "And just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." Epaphras. You're looking for a name for your boy? Colossians 4:9. "And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother." Onesimus. Who is Onesimus? He's a runaway slave. He came to Christ under Paul's ministry, and Paul sending him back to Philemon, his owner. Here he identifies Onesimus, this rascal, as now turning into a faithful minister. Onesimus means useful. He was useless and now he's youthful. Useful. He was faithless and now he's faithful. 1 Peter 5:12. 1 Peter 5:12. "By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him." Silvanus. Revelation 2:13. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, as John writes to the churches. Revelation 2:13, this is the church in Pergamum. And he says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. He was faithful to the point of death, Antipas. I was amazed at how many of these servants, these early Christians, Paul refers to by that adjective, faithful. Faithful. The big superstars and the everyday guys in the church. The supporting cast, we might call them. Modeling the fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. And I think these men are models for us. I like to read biographies. It's a great thing for your spiritual enrichment is to read the biographies of those who have gone before us. And I'm struck time and time again by the faithfulness. Probably the most significant book I've ever read with respect to that is a book entitled To the Golden Shore. It is the life story of Adoniram Judson, the very first American missionary, and he ended up in Burma. You want to read about faithfulness. Losing kids and sick and in prison. Faithful. Not that long ago, Elizabeth Elliot passed away. Through Gates of Splendor, another book I would highly recommend, how her husband and four others were murdered by the Alca Indians in South America. I forget the country now. Help me. Ecuador. That's where we had servants out of that country that were part of this church as well. But her husband is murdered. She goes back to those people because she's faithful to the call on her life. And then they see this tribe come to Christ. And I just read a few days ago of how one of the leading women in that tribe had recently passed away and was, you know, connected to the murder of her own husband, but she went in there and loved them to Christ because she was faithful. Just great biographies to read about people who were just ordinary Christians who did extraordinary things because simply they were faithful. Loyalty, conviction, principle, unshakable, unwavering, words to describe. Is that us? You don't need to have a PhD to be faithful. I think sometimes about the reverse of that in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel in chapter 2. There were a couple of priests. They were the sons of the high priest Eli. And it says of them, 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever, he says to Eli. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Eli's sons were misappropriating the offerings. They were laying with the women. They were corrupt. Behold, God says to Eli, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed on Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out with grief, to grieve his own heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men. He's proclaiming this judgment on Eli and his whole family. And this shall come upon you and your two sons. Hophni and Phinehas shall be the sign to you. Both of them shall die on the same day. Then this, and I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. And thus the story of Samuel. Faithlessness. And God judges it severely, for God is looking for faithful men and women, the kind that we have described. Third and finally, the mandate. So now that's background. Okay, that's all introduction. The mandate. Now we come to the so what part. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells the parable of the talents. And I won't read the whole section, but point out verses 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Again, verse 23. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And then, contrary to them, verse 26, the master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed." Unfaithful. We're to be about the business of our master, to be faithful. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 24, 45. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give him their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at the hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him in the with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The price of unfaithfulness is very high. We're called to be faithful. Hebrews 3:12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, in any of you an evil, unbelieving," the word there is faithless, "heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." And then it says in verse 13, "to exhort one another day by day." So we encourage each other in our faithfulness. Keep at it. And then we share with each other our difficulties, our pains, our heartaches, our struggles. And we need each other to pray for each other and to sustain each other in this life. We all need a cheerleader. We help each other be faithful. This is the mandate. Faithfulness. 1 Timothy 1:12, "I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord, because he judged me faithful." It seems like the strength is there to meet the challenge. That's how we can be faithful. You say, "Well, I don't know." You have what it takes when you need it. He gives you the strength to be faithful. We are empowered, someone said, proportionately to our commitment. We're empowered proportionately to our commitment. And you want to make a difference? The first thing the Lord is looking for is faithfulness. It's not, well, tell me what you want, then I'll decide if I want to do it or not. We are faithful to whatever He brings our way and the opportunities He lays in front of us. One author said, a wife who is 85% faithful to her husband is not faithful at all. There is no such thing as part-time loyalty to Christ. We are faithful or we are not. Sometimes, again, as I said, it's not easy during times of perhaps temptation or testing, but that reveals our faithfulness. I can only tell if a person is faithful but when the test comes. But James 1:2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, faithfulness. And in fact, throughout church history, many had to give their lives as a demonstration of their faithfulness. The church in Smyrna in Revelation 2:10 was to be said to be faithful unto death. And again, it's really hard to be faithful to something that we're not really convinced of, right? If you want to be faithful, you better be convinced that this is, otherwise you'll never be committed to it, unless you're convinced of it. I would remind us that the same word, pistis, is also the word believe. Belief and faithfulness are connected. Jesus asked in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? Faithfulness on the earth. He tells a story of four soils. The differentiating characteristic of the fourth soil or the fourth seed is faithfulness. It produced fruit. It did something. It kept going. It wasn't choked. Or he tells a story of two roads. Many go the way of the broad road, but only the faithful few go the narrow road. I like a book entitled by Eugene Peterson many years ago, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's faithfulness. A long obedience in the same direction. And he writes, not everyone possesses boundless energy or a conspicuous talent. We are not equally blessed with great intellect or physical beauty or emotional strength, but we have all been given the same ability to be faithful with whatever God has given you. Now, one additional thing here, and then we're through. In the context of Galatians chapter 5, where it describes the fruit of faithfulness, yes, I think included in that is the faithfulness to the Lord in our lives. But there's also, in light of the context of the other descriptors there, I think what is also included here is a reference to the character of my daily life. And because I'm faithful to the Lord and He is faithful, am I faithful? Does that extend to my earthly relationships? Do I have, we might say, integrity? Can you count on me? Is my word good? Faithfulness. People, when Ron says something, that's going to be done. Faithfulness. Steadfastness. Committed. Can I be counted on? Am I a man of my word? Am I honorable, trustworthy, consistent, reliable, honest? I conclude with the words of Max Lucado, who said, I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love, and my children will never fear that their father will not come home. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your faithfulness. That which you have through your Spirit now imparted into our hearts, and the fruit which we are instructed to bear if we are in you. And so we pray that you would do that in our hearts and in our lives, maybe be true to you, true to each other, true to the truth, faithful, committed, immovable in all that you have assigned to us, in all that you've instructed for us, that one day we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May we be as you desire, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to conclude this morning with a song of faithfulness. I think we're doing the Brian Dirksen song, is that right? Let's stand together.